We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Up next, the latest on the Missouri Tigers from KCSN, which features multiple shows each week with Border War with former Missouri forward Jarrett Sutton and former Jayhawks guard Jeff Hawkins, and Mizzou That's Who with insider Gabe DiArma, Maggie Johnson, and Tucker Franklin. The latest news, the top stories, and an insider perspective to keep you in the know. Make sure to follow us on your new home for Missouri Tigers podcast, KCSN. And now, the latest on Mizzou Athletics.
Hello and welcome into Mizzou That's Who, your podcast for Missouri Athletics here on Kansas City Sports Network. I am your host, Tucker Franklin, here with Gabe DiArman and Maggie Johnson. Quick shout out to Charlie Hustle. I wore the Leaping Tiger football shirt. Maggie got a Chiefs shirt on. Gabe, you got a Monarch shirt on. They've got a lot of good Monarchs collection there at Charlie Hustle. So whatever you like, go to charliehustle.com. You can get really anything. I got a Joe's Barbecue shirt if you're into the barbecue. If you love local Kansas City brands, you can go find stuff there too. I believe they have a Four Hands Brewing as well. I believe that's out of St. Louis. So they've got all kinds of stuff across the state. So no matter where you are, the Shakespeare's Pizza shirt we talked about last week, go check it out. Go check out charliehustle.com. We've got a lot to talk about in Mizzou Athletics. We had the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, possibly, when it comes to that. And I knew once the result of the basketball game happened, I was already preparing myself for a loss in the bowl game because, listen, as Missouri fans, we can't have it too good. They got to make sure that we have it a little bit. We get a little dose of reality sometimes. But we're going to start with the bowl game, the Gasparilla Bowl, 27-17 loss to Wake Forest, the Fighting Sam Hartmans. I don't know if we want to talk a whole lot about this game. I think what I was talking to you guys before we started was, I think the biggest thing for me, at least from this game, is what now for this team? I think that's the biggest thing. This is another year where they finished 6-7. You have Eli Drinkwitz going on his fourth year in Columbia. So you're coming on of a kind of an impasse, right? He did sign a 2-year extension, but you're coming to an impasse here with the recruitment and with facilities and people coming back, a transfer portal, everything like that. Gabe, what are your thoughts from the bowl game and just kind of the ramifications, the impact? I know bowl games don't really matter as much as they used to, but moving forward.
Did we not agree that Maggie would just talk about the bowl game and then I could talk about basketball so everybody would like me? That's fair. That not the plan? Okay. No, but I mean, they don't matter really in the grand scheme of things. We talked a lot about that, but they matter to fans, and that's pretty obvious based on the reaction. Like, your team plays, you want your team to win. And I mean, they told us all leading up to the game how much it mattered. So you don't, you know, my favorite tradition of bowl season is after every SEC team that loses, it's just like, well, the SEC is 0-0 in bowl games it cares about. You know, but then if the SEC team wins, they're automatically 1-0 or 2-0 right, or whatever. Right. Well, we just didn't care about that one. I mean, like, full disclosure, I didn't see very much of this game because I was in Kansas City at a family thing and Gerard Hamilton covered it for us, but I didn't need to see that game because I've seen that game 6 times. Yeah. Like, the defense is pretty good until it's just so obvious that the offense isn't even competent enough to help them out that they can't do it anymore. So what happened in that game? You know, they held Wake Forest below all their season averages. And Wake Forest is an awful defense, and Missouri still couldn't really do anything on offense. So 17 points is not going to win games against grown-up teams, you know, and Missouri does not have an offense that's capable of beating very many grown-up teams. They managed to do it a couple times.
Well, I'll say, so for everybody out there, I did not make it down to Tampa, had my flights, had everything. Y'all know what happened. Weather was terrible. Flights got canceled. It is what it is. Watched the game and made it to Bragging Rights, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But so the coolest thing about the bowl game was the Mike Leach shirt that Drink was wearing. Yeah. And he channeled his inner Mike Leach because they threw 48 passes. I mean, they threw the dang ball. And that was super interesting to me in terms of we've ran the ball quite a bit. And honestly, running the ball was doing okay for us in the first half. Then I feel like we really didn't run the ball kind of at all. I don't know if that was after Connor Wood got hurt. I'm not really sure. But dang, penalties. That is the story of this game. I do not even know. I don't have it in front of me. I don't know if you do, Tucker, the amount of penalties and yardage that we got for that. But it just felt like that game lasted forever because of the amount of penalties. Yeah, I see your face. I know it's got to be bad.
9 for 85. So that's not great. I know there was a couple ticky-tack roughing the passers, some unsportsmanlike penalties that go on. We talked about before. Mizzou, people outside of – so living in Kansas City, there's a lot of fans of other colleges, and I'm friends with, you know, people with like Kansas fans usually. Don't know why I'm friends with them. but they were chirping at me during the game when I was already frustrated about it. They're like, oh, look at all these penalties. This team's undisciplined. This falls on Drink. Like, this is Drink's fault. I was like – can we just like calm down for a second? I was already worked up just because of like, you know, how the game was going. And I didn't want them to say that my team was bad, but like they weren't wrong. I mean, you got two guys fighting each other on the field. I know that
I would say that was, but that was not a big deal.
I agree. That was a
proportion.
My boss asked me about it today. He was like, oh, I saw it on the news. And I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure it was a misunderstanding that happened. Yeah. But everybody, you know, they don't care. The media wants to post it and they want to get the clicks and they want to talk smack about Mizzou. And it just is what it is. It shouldn't have happened. But I do think that that was a misunderstanding between the two guys.
So I just looked it up. How many teams in the country? There are 131 teams. How many would you guess were called for more penalties than Missouri this year?
Oh, not very many at all.
Can I guess? I'm going to guess 6.
3.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about it every single week.
Right.
Every week
that talk was about one of the big things with Odom, right? That was a huge criticism of him. His teams are undisciplined. All these penalties. That hasn't been fixed. You know, and they were, I mean, they were at crippling times. Even if you erase the Kentucky one that, you know, might have been a penalty, might not have. But even if you take that one out, I mean, the Georgia game, penalties and even in Arkansas, they had some brutal penalties. They had backup offensive linemen that were just like collecting laundry in the bowl games. So.
Did they? They have penalties per game on that. Can you work that out? Or
yeah, I mean everybody's played 12 or so. Eastern Michigan was called for 2 more penalties than Missouri. Utah State has more penalties per game because they had 102 in only 12 games. So that's impressive. Wow. But yeah, they do have penalties per game in Missouri ranks. Oh, they moved way up. They're only 121st in that. Tied for 121st with 7.8 per game.
Interesting. So we've got to be the most Power Five.
Maryland, 7.8 per game, but they've only played 12 games. Tennessee, ironically, 8 per game, have also only played 12 games. Third most penalized team in America, Alabama.
Wow. Their fans will tell you too. They talk about that on Twitter all the time.
You know, they're good enough to overcome it. Missouri, less so.
Yeah. And I think on the defensive side of the ball too, defense is clearly missing pieces early on. Wake Forest was getting whatever they wanted on the offensive side of the ball, especially running the ball. It was just a little disjointed early on. I think they did figure it out kind of later on in the game. But then it got to the point where the offense couldn't stay on the field, so then the defense was having to be out there for long play stretches. Then they would have they would finally get a stop. The offense would come out for a 3-and-out. Brady Cook would throw long on a 4th down or something like that and overthrow it. It was just like stuff like that was happening, and then like the defense was just as they were all year, just put it at a disadvantage. This game was a microcosm of the season. It was just literally this was the same script over and over that we see from this Missouri Tigers team. And I think that's kind of what was so frustrating about it, because we were thinking, oh, maybe, you know, someone new, try something out, you know, got new faces on the defensive front. Maybe we could see a little bit more. We'll try something out new. No, same thing. Same thing.
They tried a couple trick plays. They were terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the frustrating, like Drinkwood says, hey, Tavoris Jones is going to get a chance. He's going to play a lot more in this game. You guys know how many snaps he played?
One
snap.
I remember it specifically because me and my friend are like, hey, that's Tavoris Jones.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not going to argue about the quarterback, whatever. He thinks Brady's his best quarterback. Fine. You know, cool with me. But you just, it's discouraging that I think the biggest problem, we're talking about what's next, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know, because we don't know if any of these guys are good. Like, I don't know if Tavoris Jones is good. I don't know if Sam Horn's good. Right. I don't know if Max Wisner's good, or, you know, and even like the receivers, everybody says they're good, but maybe. But when you don't have a line that can block, or a quarterback that can get them the ball, or a running game that can make other teams respect it, I don't really even know if it matters if the receivers actually are good. You know, I mean,
yeah.
And that's the problem to me, and I wrote this on Monday morning. All I wanted out of this year was a better idea of which way this is going to go. And, like, look, it's good for my business. I know you guys would much prefer that Eli's winning 9, 10, 11 games. Like, I don't root against him, but I would feel better knowing, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing now, than just having no idea, because – they just treaded water for 3 years. I mean, I don't know that anybody can argue. I mean, his best year, I think inarguably, was year one, where he had almost none of his players, had to deal with COVID, didn't have spring practice, all those things. And he had no non-conference games, and he went 5-5. And everyone, including myself, said, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
They've gotten worse since then. I mean, their last 2 years are worse than year one, right?
We've talked a little bit about, like, recruiting rankings and stuff like that, like, on and off the podcast. Here's my question. Do you think that he's a good recruiter at, like, the specialty positions, but he can't do the trenches? Because I think that's why we've gotten worse. I don't think – I mean, obviously, our defensive line was pretty good. Obviously, we're probably going to put a couple of guys into the draft. But, I mean, his offensive line is the main reason I feel like we're pretty bad.
But what doesn't make sense to me is, if you're a good recruiter, you're a good recruiter. Like, why can you recruit a safety or a wide receiver, but you can't recruit enough? Like, I don't think it goes by position. And, God, I'm going to get in so much trouble. I shouldn't say this. But, like, I have fought for years with people. Like, recruiting rankings matter. Right. On a big scale, that now one kid being a 2-star or a 5-star doesn't matter. But overall, as a big picture thing, they do generally matter. They're a pretty decent guideline. They are not gospel. I mean, we saw Gary Pinkel take kids that and classes that rivals said weren't very good and make them really good. So you can outperform. I also saw Butch Jones fail despite bringing in top 15 class after top 15 class. So it can go to every rule, there's an exception. And look, I've got to be clear that we don't know this yet. Like, I'm not saying this is the case. But the worry is, what if this is Butch Jones, where, like, he's getting guys that look like they're really good players, or that rival says are really good players, but they either the evaluation's off or the development's off. Like, that's the part that worries you. And again, I'm not saying that's the case. I hope he wins 14 games next year, you know, and I hope every one of these 5-stars and 4-stars plays like a 4- and 5-star. And overall, you'd rather have a guy who recruits top 20 classes than a guy who recruits classes in the 40s. This is not like a bring Barry Odom back, anything like that. It's just, you have to acknowledge that we don't really know right now.
I think that's fair. You look at the recruiting ranking right now, it's at 32 after early signing day. National signing day is like in February, right?
Or, like, yeah.
Big one.
Well, the big one already happened. Like 85%.
Okay, that one's now early signing day.
That's
okay.
Now the big one. Yeah.
Okay. I knew there was another signing day that happens later. So they could add a couple guys. I know that they're probably going to hit the portal hard. You have to hit the portal hard now in college football. And if they don't completely revamp their offensive line, then we're going to have a problem. But they brought in a couple transfer offensive linemen that didn't really pan out all that well. Connor Wood wasn't, he started a lot, but he wasn't like a world beating right guard. So, it's tough.
I mean, EJ and Doma Ogar took a year and a half to get on the field and actually then looked pretty good when he did.
Yeah, he did.
But then got hurt, which again goes back to another concern of like, okay, that kid looked a lot better than the guys that have been playing the first six games of the year or whatever, right? Like, where was the disconnect here not playing him sooner?
Well, Polgar got hurt, right? He couldn't.
Yeah.
Or not hurt. Ineligible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that was a kind of a killer, too, when you rely on something like that. But who knows if he was good? I don't know. We don't know.
I mean, there's a post on our board that says, how many offensive linemen does Missouri need to bring in to fix this line? Kind of, but
three?
Like I think Armand Mimbo is going to be good, right? I think he's a good player.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the hope is, I think it's unfair to expect Logan Riker to play next year on the offensive line. It just doesn't usually happen. But you hope one of the other guys that signed in Mimbo's class is ready to be a contributor next year. So that's a new guy. Like Xavier Delgado, Javon Foster, those are guys that, yeah, you can start them. You can be fine. I think to be good, you need better than that, but you could start them. So I guess, and EJ's healthy, but I just feel like they need more guys. I feel like they need to at least bring in two guys that are upgrades, not just bodies, but like you look at them and go, it's going to be surprising if they aren't starting. They need to do what the Chiefs did 2 years ago.
It's kind of disappointing because Javon Foster was, we kind of thought he might not even be back this year. Like he was supposed to be so good. So that's a little alarming to me.
He's a preseason tackle from PFF or preseason top 10 tackle from PFF is what they named him.
Yeah. And I know they love him. I just have a hard time thinking anybody on Missouri's offensive line had a very good year. I mean, no. 28 pressures in the bowl game. When that's the case, unless all 28 of them came from the other four spots, nobody's playing particularly well.
I don't know if I have the ability to look this up, but I wonder what Missouri's average time per drop back was, because it couldn't have been very long. It had to be close to like 2.5 seconds. Like, listen, I know you don't want you can't live and let 4.5 seconds is unrealistic. Right. But like, 2 is pretty quick, 2.5 pretty quick to kind of make a decision, especially if you want to air it out deep and hit some of these guys on these deep routes. So no wonder Brady Cook was overthrowing guys because he had guys barreling down on him and he just kind of had to guess at that point where these guys were going to be at. But
So if I tell you guys you can have 3 new starters on the offensive line out of the portal, or you can have a new starting quarterback, but you can't have both.
I would take offensive line.
Yeah.
Easily. I don't even think I would question.
I don't think it's a question. I mean, there are people, my point is there are people who have made up their mind. Well, if Brady Cook starts next year, we're trash and I'm not going to games and I'm going to find a new team. I mean, look, he won 6 games this year and easily could have won more. I don't think he's going to be an all SEC quarterback, but this idea that like, he's not a Power 5 quarterback. No, he legitimately is, and he wasn't the worst one in the SEC.
Right.
No, he absolutely wasn't the worst one in the SEC.
He had a better
season. Until 3 weeks ago, he was better than Spencer Rattler.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
I don't think that Brady Cook is the problem. I think he's part of it. I don't. I think there's a lot of that might be what's so frustrating is there's a lot of things that are the problem of this offense and you can't pinpoint one thing. I think that's probably what's frustrating. But I think if you give him time and you give an offense that, you know, he can run in. Once you saw him run the ball more, it seemed like Missouri's offense had life to it. It was like, oh, there's a spark here. If you can allow him to run the ball a little bit more, maybe some QB design runs just to keep the defense on their toes, stuff like that. But if you allow him to have more protection and to have more time to increase that decision making, I mean, every quarterback's going to be a lot better and they have a better offensive line and a better better pocket. So, I mean, I'm not totally out on Brady Cook. Do I think that Mizzou will add a quarterback in the portal? I think they're going to try. I don't think they're not going to try because I think they want to have the competition. That's at least how Drinkwitz is going to portray it to not give, you know, that's what he did last year, right? Well, we brought in Jack Abraham for competition, which he saw the field and threw three interceptions in four attempts or something like that. I think that they're probably going to add a guy in the transfer portal, but I don't think people should jump to conclusions. I think this is probably going to be Brady Cook's team until further notice, right? I think it's probably how it's going to work out.
I think I don't agree.
Okay.
I think Sam Horn's your starting quarterback next year.
Gabe,
at some point, you got to find out.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think Sam came to sit for 2 years. I think we kind of know what Brady is. And, again, he is a Power 5 quarterback. You know, he's fine. He got him to a bowl game, and he deserves some credit for that. But you got to commit to finding out about the future here at some point, right? You can't just and I think a lot of it comes down to what does Eli think about his situation next year? Because my opinion is Eli's coaching for his job next year. I don't know if that's true. Maybe he knows, hey, they just gave me a big extension. I got a couple years so I can toss this kid out there. And if he struggles, I can go through some growing pains with him and it'll be okay. Cause I think he'll be better in 2024 for it. And I know I'm going to be the coach in 2024. Now, I don't know if he knows that or not. But coaches are risk averse in general. I think Eli for the bravado and all that, I think he's actually more risk averse than a lot of them. They played the third fewest snaps of any team for true freshmen in the SEC. He keeps defaulting to Cody Schrader and the guys who lower upside. But so I think he's risk averse. So I just don't know if he's going to go, I don't know what I got in Sam Horn, but let's go. Let's take a shot at it. But I think that's the right move for this program next year. Personally,
I think with the transfer portal, you have to play for your life every year. And like, especially now that it's gone, because he could start Sam Horn next year and he could be okay. What's keeping Sam Horn? I mean, obviously he's playing baseball at Mizzou and he could probably do that somewhere else too, depending on how good he is. Yeah. But yeah. And that, But that's not saying that they can't. He can't go and get it somewhere else.
Right. Right.
He could go get money somewhere else. I just feel like there's no guarantees now, and you can't just sit on your hands. Like, you got to play him.
Well, and I think the bigger problem, it's like Tucker said, we all want it to be one thing. We want to look at our team and say, well, if we just fix this, it's all good. Right. We're going to win 9 games. But, like, the better question on this Missouri offense is not what do you need to fix. It's what do you not need to fix? I mean, quarterback needs to be better. Running back needs to be better. Offensive line needs to be way better. Tight end needs to exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, there is no part of that offense that was good enough this year.
Right. I don't disagree
with you. Special teams, not great, too.
No, special teams aren't very good either.
Yeah, it was not good. I don't disagree with you either, Gabe. I think that should be the move. What I'm just saying is I think that's what's going to happen. Like, I just think it's just going to be Brady Cook because, just as you mentioned, the risk averseness. Am I making this up where Drinkwitz said that he was going to be really aggressive this season? And he felt like he said that in the preseason.
He said that.
I've went and tried to look for it one time and I couldn't find it. And I was like, wow, am I dreaming? Is that a fever dream? Because like
he said he needed to be aggressive and let him throw the ball around and go deep more. And then I think after about a game and a half, he figured out, yo, we can't do that. Like, yeah. I don't got the guys to do that.
No. He also said he wasn't going to run his mouth as much, but he did that too.
Well,
best laid plans.
Unless you guys have anything else about Missouri football, I think we could talk in circles all day about this offense and what's going on. Let's move to the basketball. Let's move to the hardwood. Are they back? Is Missouri basketball back? Because they had a dominant win over an Illinois team that was ranked, an uninspired Illinois team, if I will say. They were fighting with each other. Things didn't look good. You had old Coach Underwood yelling at them in press conferences 2 weeks ago before that game. Things look not good in old Champaign, Illinois. But thoughts on that game, Gabe, just off top initial thoughts.
I mean, well, first of all, Brad Underwood has the best angry face in college basketball. There was one play. It was the play where Kobe cut down the lane from the free throw line, was wide open for a dunk. I mean, literally five Illinois guys just watched him. And Brad Underwood calls timeout, and I swear to God, for about 6 seconds, he just stared at number 20 on his team. I mean, he looked as angry as I've ever seen anybody look. He doesn't appear to like his team. His team doesn't appear to like each other. I was disappointed we didn't get a fight. I thought we were going to get a fight. Whether that was between Missouri and Illinois or Illinois and Illinois, I wasn't sure, but I thought we were going to get a fight. But I spent most of the second half just like looking at the guys next to me and laughing. Like, I tweeted late in the first half when Demoy Hodge banked in a three. I said, like, I don't want to say for sure, guys, but sometimes you just kind of see something that says this is your night, right? Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, we had about a 45-second span. I think Illinois had cut it to, like, 21. And you get a Hodge three, and then the next time down you get a Golston three, and then the next time down you get a Kobe four. And it's just like... They could blindfold themselves in the balls going in tonight. And they're not that good, right? Like what I wrote was they're not a top 15 team in America every night, but that showed us they're capable of being a top 15 team in America on the right night. And that's all it really takes. Be a top 15 on enough right nights, and you don't have to actually be a top 15 team.
That was probably the funnest basketball game I've been to.
That's pretty good.
I mean, I couldn't even tell you. Not obviously, it wasn't very competitive, but I was like you, Gabe. I was laughing half the time. Like every 5 seconds, I'm standing up. So they sold the tickets on Ticketmaster, which is where I got my tickets, and they only sold like half the arena, which was really weird. I couldn't figure out why. So there were Illinois people all over our section because they could only buy in our section, which is usually not like that. You know, it's usually like split down the middle. And those poor Illinois fans that were in our section, because I mean, they were everywhere and they're just sitting there on their phone. They were me at the Kansas game, me just like sitting on my phone, like angry the whole time. Like it was reversed. And like you said, nothing went wrong. The ball just went in every single time.
Like I distinctly remember at one point, Dre Golston takes a three, like a 23 footer, like 7 seconds into the shot clock with a 22 point lead. And as he went up, I said, oh, that's an awful shot. He made it. Cause of course he made it. Cause you know, I mean, it doesn't change the fact it was an awful shot, but it went in.
Yeah. He's not going to make that shot every night, but he was making it. So I'm like, I guess you can take it. But I mean, yeah, Kobe had 31 points. And it's not even just, it's like how he got 31 points, like 10 for 15, 3 for 4 from 3-point. He had 5 rebounds, 8 assists. Like, he played the best game that he could have possibly asked to play on the right
night.
It
was the most points a Missouri player has ever scored against Illinois. After, like, I promise he heard after the KU game, like, why does he never show up in big games?
Yeah.
And it wasn't unfair to ask it after the KU game, but he answered it.
Yeah. I'm looking at the AP poll because Illinois dropped all the way out. They dropped out. They received some votes, 65 votes. Missouri received 57 votes.
Can we just do the disclaimer saying this doesn't matter in college basketball on December 28th or whatever it is?
Doesn't matter at all. Glad we put that out there. But Missouri received 57 votes. Kind of a big deal. When was the last time Missouri was ranked? I probably should have looked that up before the podcast started, but that was just a thought that I had.
With, like, Smith.
And they were ranked after they beat Alabama.
Last year they were?
2 years ago.
Or 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago, January. Yeah.
Okay.
And then they lost, like, 9 out of 11 or something in the year. But they were ranked. Maybe even top 10. Classic. I want to say like they went to number 9 in the country or something.
I do vaguely remember them being a top 10 team at one point and being like, hey, maybe we got something here. And then the wheels just completely falling off the wagon.
My funniest thing about this, and I tweeted about it earlier today, was that back during football season, when, you know, Kansas played a cupcake schedule, like leading up to their first 5 wins, it was like West Virginia, and they were like giving up like 50 points and stuff like that. You know, they get to 5-0. And the nation is ready to, like, call them America's team, gave them college game day, threw them in the teens and rankings. And it's like the situation is, like, reversed because obviously they were one of the worst football teams in the country for years. We're definitely one of the worst Power 5 basketball teams in the country last year. But everybody will just be like, no, 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 bad schedule, terrible schedule. You can't put – even if we just smacked – Illinois. But it's just funny to me. It's just like
I mean, you hope that it doesn't continue to follow Kansas football because they ended up 6-6. Like, Kansas football shouldn't have been ranked. They should have paid more attention to that schedule, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think it's I don't think it's unfair that Missouri's not ranked right now. I think it's okay. They've got 1.5 good wins, and the best team they played blew them out of the gym by half. They went on Wednesday. They're going to be ranked going to Arkansas.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any question about that.
Yep. Yeah. That's a big game. In a game that Missouri basketball will be playing, Kansas football will be playing without any water. So that's fun.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
This game's going to be really interesting because I'm looking at the KenPom numbers here. Missouri's offense is 7th in the country, according to KenPom, at 116. Now their defense, on the other hand, not that high. It's 148th. And I think that's the biggest thing that I took away from this Missouri game against Illinois is defensively, they look like a completely other team. Like, I don't know what happened to that team that we had seen the first 12 games of the season, 11 games of the season, but then they showed up and played lights out defensively. If they can play like that, and I think it was they were in like a 1-3-1 zone and then went match man and trap man zone. They were doing a lot of stuff on the defensive side of the ball that I liked, and I don't think that they should ever leave that 1-3-1 zone just because I think it works so well for them. Just the personnel that they have, and Dennis knows, obviously, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's listening to this podcasting. I wonder what Tucker thinks we should do.
I'm guessing
might be.
Yeah.
Could be though.
CY might be though.
Shout out CY. But no, that's what I was really impressed with was the defense. Obviously, Kobe Brown scoring 31's eye popping. but the defensive side of the ball was a huge factor in that game.
Yeah, they were everywhere. Yeah, Ronnie DeGray played really well. Went from not being able to get on the floor to 33 minutes and just being huge for that team. And I think they're going to have to play zone against Kentucky because if they don't, I think Oscar Tshiebwe could have 30 and 20 and Kobe could have 9 fouls. You know, I just don't think they have the personnel to play Kentucky otherwise. I looked a little bit today. I mean, Kentucky fans want to fire Calipari, and it's the worst season ever, right? They're 8-3. They've lost to Gonzaga, maybe UCLA, I can't remember, some top five team. And Michigan State's their worst loss. They're 13th in the country in adjusted defense, 25th in adjusted offense, 12th in rebounding, like 7th in three-point shooting. Like, this is a good team, you know?
Woe is me.
Yeah, exactly. But they lost a game, so it's time to get rid of everybody. They haven't won a national title in, like, I don't know. I honestly
2012. It's
been, but has it been that long?
Well, they beat Kansas 2012.
Way too long. Yeah. Unacceptable.
They're a Tux and Kempom team too. So I mean,
yeah.
An interesting thing too will be how well we match up, because like we've talked about, we play small ball. And honestly, that's why we matched up so well against Illinois. They didn't have anybody that had an answer for Kobe, and Kobe's not even a big guy.
And their freshman guards were bad in that game. And I was talking to some of my friends that cover Illinois, and I think it's, I can't remember, Hawken, their big guy. They're like 6'10 dude.
Yeah.
I said, look, I firmly believe all the stuff that says he's a good basketball player, but because tonight's the only time I've ever seen him play, like, I have no proof of it. He was dreadful in that game.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think you're going to get that kind of game out of Oscar on Wednesday. You know, I think like a win's not out of the question, but I think most Missouri fans would be pretty happy if they just came away going, hey, last 4 to 8 minutes, like, we had a shot. We were right there. It wasn't the biggest thing for me from the Kansas to the Illinois game. And, you know, the players, I mean, Golston admitted it when he was on with us last week, like, yeah, we maybe weren't quite ready for that Kansas atmosphere. Like, it got to us a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Thursday didn't get to them. They were a little more ready for it. So they ought to be ready for, you know, it's a sellout on Wednesday night, which is, that's great. I miss fun games in that arena.
Getting back to it, which is exciting. Also, they got a cool trophy. That trophy. Oh, yeah. I see the picture of Dennis just leaning on it. Like, Dennis isn't like a small guy. That's a big trophy.
It's definitely a tall trophy. It's at least 5 feet tall. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Maybe do we think that the football team knew that they got to play for a trophy? Maybe if they knew that there was a trophy involved, they would have a little bit better.
Oh, it was a box of treasure or a treasure chest. Who wouldn't want that?
I don't even know what the Gasparilla Bowl trophy looks like. I've got to look it up now.
Yeah, because it was a treasure chest.
This is a trophy podcast.
We looked up everything about Gasparilla on Friday because we didn't know what it was. But it was funny. We were kind of talking about things that would have made it more fun, like making players wear eye patches and stuff, like make bowls fun again, you know?
That would have been cool.
Just one eye patch.
Give the linemen actual swords.
Ooh. Yeah.
No, it's a legit. It's like a treasure chest on like a little podium, and with it's open, and it looks like it just has like Mardi Gras beads on it, which like kind of doesn't make any sense.
So they're Gasparilla. So I don't even know why we're gonna talk about this. I'm just gonna make it real quick. They have they have a festival down there in honor of this guy who was like a pirate type situation, and it was like their Mardi Gras.
Well, that does make sense.
We'll leave it at that. There you go. You can look it up yourself.
Maybe the trophy wasn't cool enough for them to play for. Maybe that was the deal. Maybe it didn't have a cool outline of states.
That makes a better story than them just not being good enough.
That's the narrative I'm going with. Anytime that they care about a trophy game, that they'll be in. But
again, SEC 0-0 in bowl games they care about.
Oh, man. Well, we're getting into the meat of the college basketball conference schedule. We're starting to get into the meat, I should say. We're beginning the main course. This is the first conference game, actually, right? against Kentucky.
Yeah.
This schedule, I know we've talked about it before, but this schedule of just like Kentucky, Arkansas back to back, followed by or preceded by Kansas, UCF in Illinois. Absolutely brutal. But
like at the start of that, we said 2-3 would be good.
Yeah.
That's the worst they can be now.
That's true.
Look at us.
I mean, like they are.
Who'd have thought?
Thursday night to me said, okay, you can start to talk about the tournament. Like you can start to have the tournament as your goal and count how many wins you need. And I think that number's 10. I think you win 10 more games, you're going to be in. And you're not really going to have to worry about it.
Is there like a tournament magic number that you got it? You know, like how you're bowl eligible if you get 6 wins. Is there something like that for the NCAA tournament that I just don't know about?
Win your conference tournament, but
no. I know. Well,
you see like teams that are always like 15-15 and they're in the, or 15-16 or whatever, and they're in there. So they kind of just take one.
Yeah. I mean, it's every conference champion and then the next 34 best teams or whatever.
They just ask KenPom what's.
Pretty much.
No, I'm excited for basketball. I tweeted this out after the game. Like, when was the last time you were actually excited for Missouri basketball during the conference season? A lot of people were responding during that Michael Porter Jr. year, even though wasn't eligible, but still good team during that run there. But that's probably the last time that I can think where I was like, oh, this basketball team is competitive and during the conference season. I think I went to like the Auburn game or something like that, and they ended up losing, but whatever.
I mean, I do think Missouri was a good team 2 years ago. The problem was that was the COVID season where nobody could go.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so that had kind of a weird feeling about it.
The year before with Jonte wasn't terrible either. I don't really remember what the record was.
No, that was Michael Porter year because Jonte only played 1 year because he got hurt before his second year.
Really?
Yeah, he did. He only played one year
in Missouri, and then they went sub 500 the next 2 seasons.
Oh, yep.
And then went to the tournament.
Did he get hurt like during the draft process or got hurt at like the end of the season or something?
He hurt himself first in an exhibition against Southern Illinois like 6 days before the start of the season. And then he was playing pickup during the draft process when he wasn't supposed to be and hurt himself again.
Yeah, I remember thinking that he probably just should have stayed another year. Probably should have. Hey, but good for him. Gotta go get that bag. I think he made an NBA roster eventually, but not for like a hot minute. But I don't even know if he's still playing anymore, if he's in the G League or what. But a lot of G League teams now. There's like Showcase G League, and I can't keep up with it. Basketball season, I'll say this on this podcast right now. I don't know if I've said this before. Basketball season, too long. Shorten that puppy up.
Agreed.
And tighten that
sucker. I don't need Coastal Carolina and East Texas State and whoever the hell else they played for the first team. I don't need it at all. It should start on January 1st.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, nobody pays attention. Like, Bragging Rights is the first night I pay attention to college basketball, and it's my job. Like, I'm at the games, but I don't – like Missouri's non-conference teams, I never know anybody on the other team. I don't type their.
The Kansas game didn't even happen.
Right.
We didn't even lose by 28 to Kansas. I don't even know.
0-0 in games they care about.
Missouri didn't care about that game. we gotta let the little guys win something, you know. All right. Next week we'll be back. We'll talk about this. Kansas. Kentucky. I meant to say Kentucky game. We'll talk about the Kentucky game, and I think we're just straight on basketball until Missouri fires Drink.
OC
season, transfer quarterback season. Who knows what might happen?
Do we play Arkansas January 2nd?
4th.
So we'll preview that game next week then.
Everything's pointing to that January 7th showdown with Vanderbilt. That's the game of the year.
Also, Vanderbilt, is that at Vanderbilt? I hope it is because I hate watching basketball games at Vanderbilt.
So. On the stage?
I think it's here.
Yeah. Did they change their – are they still play there?
Yeah. Vanderbilt's not building a new basketball arena. Are you drunk?
Great point. That is a great point. They have bigger things to worry about, like medicine.
Solving the world's problems. Yeah.
All right. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of Mizzou. That's Who. Thank you all for listening all the way to the end. Make sure be a friend, tell a friend about the Mizzou That's Who podcast and Mizzou Athletics here on KC Sports Network as well. We'll have Border War with Jared Sutton, Jeff Hawkins. They'll be talking Missouri basketball a little bit more in depth than we talk about Missouri basketball. So make sure to subscribe to the channel, leave a 5-star rating and review if you do enjoy the podcast here on KC Sports Network. So until next week, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all 6 of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.